That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not see it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, I'm glad that we are back in the parables this morning. It's our second sermon in this series. And if you've not had the opportunity to listen to Josh's excellent sermon from 2 weeks ago on June 2nd on the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value, I encourage you to go listen to it on our website. When John told us that we would be spending our summer in the parables, he gave us our assigned weeks to preach and asked us to fill in the schedule with our favorite parables. And the first one I thought of was this one, and I locked it in. But then, when I began to dig into the parable, I was reminded of the very lengthy and fairly complicated quotation from Isaiah 6, and I despaired a little bit. But I'm happy to report that after a few weeks of study and thought on the parable, I'm excited again. I'm excited because this is an important parable. I could say that because they're all important, of course, but this is one of only 5 parables that is in all 3 synoptic gospels, that is to say Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Moreover, it's the first major parable in each gospel. It's one of the very few parables to include an explanation. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, Each gospel contains Jesus' answer to the disciples' question about why he chooses to communicate to the crowd using parables. And this is why many commentators believe that the parable of the sower and its accompanying commentaries from Jesus are an interpretive key to understanding the other parables. You may remember that we have defined a parable as an extended analogy that makes comparisons or contrasts used to explain or convince. With that, I'd like to just take a moment to pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look at this parable and some of its implications for our lives. Father, we thank you that you reveal to us truths about you and us and the kingdom of heaven through your written word and in the life of the Word made flesh, Jesus, the Messiah. We ask you, Lord, to generously fill us with your Spirit, that we might see and hear those things that you know that we need as we consider this passage today. Amen. Well, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, if you're not already there, where we read, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach." It's an interesting scene. We often read that Jesus attracted a crowd, and it's not difficult to understand why, given his ministry of healing and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, not to mention the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And on this occasion, in order to get a little space from the crowd, Jesus addresses the crowd from a boat. Imagine the scene. He just needed a little space to even be able to address the crowd. They were kind of crowding in upon him. And I think sounds pretty cool. And as far as I know, this is the first floating pulpit. Matthew continues in verse 3, and he says, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Now there's much we could say about this parable and the explanations that follow, but I want to focus on three things this morning. And here's number one. The kingdom of heaven is revealed progressively. The kingdom of heaven is revealed progressively. And I want you to consider the words of the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what he says. "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world." The Bible is the record of God's progressive revelation to his people. He reveals himself in the law and the prophets, and often this revelation is not fully understood by those who first receive it. An example of this would be Isaiah 53. Now, looking back from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, this passage makes a lot more sense to us than it did to the original hearers, who considered it a mystery. Consider some of the things it said. "By his stripes you will be healed," right? "Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he didn't protest." Now, we get that in light of the crucifixion, but those who first received it, probably a little confusing. It's what Paul says in Colossians 1 from our New Testament reading, where he says, "I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints." And it's what Matthew says a little bit after our reading in verses 34 of 35 of chapter 13. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Jesus came teaching and healing and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And the parables of Jesus clarify what the kingdom is all about. Things that have been hidden that he now makes plain. And this clarification was sorely needed to his listeners because there was a huge gap in expectations that Jews had for the Messiah and what his kingdom would actually look like in the life and ministry of Jesus. We've already mentioned that first century Jews were looking for a king who would restore Israel to glory and save them from the oppressive rule of the Romans. However, Jesus came to save them from much bigger enemies than the Romans. He came to save them from sin and death. This expectation gap is often why people get so frustrated when they heard the parables. A great example of this comes from Luke 18. It's the scene where you've got a Pharisee and a tax collector standing at the temple. And the Pharisee is saying stuff like, I thank you that I am not like other men. I thank you that I'm righteous. I thank you that I tithe. I thank you that I give to the poor. I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector over there. And the tax collector prays, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus asks the question, provocatively, which one was justified? It's the tax collector. That's the punchline of the parable. See, the parables deeply challenged their expectations of God's kingdom. In the parables, people heard that people that thought they were automatically in, based on their bloodline, or because of their religiosity, were surprised and shocked and even angered to hear that Jesus was saying they might not be in. And at the same time, people like the tax collector, who thought and knew that they would be out of the kingdom of God, were amazed to find out that that actually wasn't the case, that they would be welcomed in if they would repent. So that's point number one. The kingdom of heaven is revealed progressively. And that leads us to the second point, that our participation in the kingdom is dependent upon our receptivity to the word. Our participation in the kingdom is dependent upon our receptivity to the word. While it's called the parable of the sower, it's really the parable of the soils. Often the point of the parable lies in what Jesus compares or contrasts. And in this parable, the contrast lies in the type of soil that receives the seed. In other words, while each soil is sowed by the same sower with the same seed, and with the same sunlight, it is the type of soil that determines the fruitfulness of the seed. Simply put, some of the soil is receptive to the seed, and some isn't. The first type of soil is by the road, and not surprisingly, the soil near the road is packed tighter. The soil is so hard that the seed doesn't even penetrate the surface of the soil, and birds come and eat the seed. This soil represents the hard-hearted person, the person who is simply not interested in hearing the word. It's like the guy that gets dragged to the Christmas Eve service and sits there checking his emails. It's that guy, right? And the next two soils initially receive the seed. In other words, they connect with the message and they seem to receive it. In fact, the person that is represented by the rocky soil seems to be immediately on fire. They're so excited about the message at first, but unfortunately, their passion fades. These are the New Year's resolution hearers. Beginning January 1st, I will stop eating French fries and ice cream, and I'll work out 5 times a week. But by February 1st, Five Guys is sounding pretty good. Moreover, Jesus tells us that those like the rocky soil are those that just aren't rooted. They fade when they're put to the test. Imagine the young woman who hears the word and seems to receive it, and she runs to excitedly tell her fiancé, "I found Jesus, and I want you to find him too." And he responds saying, "I don't know what you're talking about, and if that's where you're going, I can't go with you." And she walks away. Not from him, but from the Lord. And then there is the seed sown among the thorns. They don't make it because they are overcome by the cares and concerns of life or the deceitfulness of wealth. I was recently in a conversation with a guy who found out I was a pastor and said, "Oh yeah, I used to be really fired up for the Lord. In fact, I got my whole family involved. They also go to church, but I don't really go anymore. A lot of times I have to work on Sundays to make ends meet, and I just sort of stopped going." You could almost hear Jesus say to this man, "What benefit is it to you to make ends meet but lose your own soul?" And lastly, there's the good soil that receives the seed and grows. It perseveres through persecution. It's not overcome by care or concern, and it bears fruit. So the point of the parable is to say, be careful about how you listen to the word. All these parables that Jesus is going to give you, pay attention. Really hear, not only with your physical ears, but with the ears of your heart. Don't be put off when my parables rock your expectations, as assuredly they will. And listen carefully to all my words about the kingdom. And don't just hear, but apply them to your life. The parable of the sower is a foundational parable to understand all of the parables of the kingdom, because it is an exhortation to truly hear Jesus' explanation of the kingdom of heaven. And that's why, in answering the disciples' question about why he addresses the crowds in parables, he quotes Isaiah. It's an object lesson. He answered them, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them it's not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand." Why? I'm inserting the why. "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive.'" Because, I'm inserting the because this people's heart has grown dull. It's already gone dull. Before Isaiah opens his mouth, they're already hard-hearted. And because of that, their ears can barely hear, and their eyes have closed. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart in turn, and I would heal them. Of course, God wants to heal them. But these people's hearts and their ears are so closed that they're to a point where they cannot hear. Now, this is a challenging bit of scripture, and it leaves the reader wondering, what is Jesus saying here? He seems to be saying that he speaks in parables so that many will not hear. That can't be correct, could it? And my answer is no. Jesus is not trying to speak in a way in order to intentionally confuse many of his hearers. Rather, he's identifying with the prophet of Isaiah. Isaiah preached in the 8th century BC, in the middle 700s. And he preached at a time when Israel had wandered far from the Lord. They had violated the terms of the covenant. And God, in faithfulness to his promise, said, "Hey, you're going to be punished. You're going to be taken into exile." And yet, Isaiah gets called to preach to this people that are going to go into exile. It's kind of a bummer of a call, right? I want you to preach, and most of them are not going to hear. Not cool, right? And yet, that's what happens a lot with the crowd in Jesus, right? Sometimes he says stuff, and they say, "Master, that's a really hard saying." And he says, "Do you want to leave too, like the other guys?" Right? He wasn't afraid to offend. He wasn't afraid to say hard truths. So in identifying with the prophet Isaiah, he said, this is going to be characteristic of my ministry too, is I'm going to preach, and unfortunately, a lot of the people that I'm going to preach to have very hard hearts, and this gospel message is not even going to penetrate them. In Matthew 13, Jesus is identifying with the prophet Isaiah and all of the former prophets. Remember what Jesus says? Is like, what did you do to the prophets before me? You killed them. You persecuted them. It was not cool to be a prophet. It was really hard. They're the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And often, they had a really, really hard time. See, the parables serve as a filter. They separated out those who would hear and respond to the message and those who would not. That's why those who have get more and those who don't have lose what they have. It's because they don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. If you don't have ears to learn Algebra 1, you don't get to go on to Algebra 2. Right? But the more of the kingdom that is revealed to you and the more that you receive and apply to your life, the more you get given. And if you hear the gospel initially and you reject it, it's just going to dull your ears. Now, this brings up a really important question. Some of you guys are maybe asking, can your soil type change? And I believe it can. In fact, at the Bible study we had on this a couple of Wednesdays ago, somebody said, you know, I think I've been every type of soil at some point in my life. And you know what? I resonate with that. The first time I heard the gospel, it kind of bounced off me like I was on the road. The second time, it took root, and you know what? Early on, there were times where that word got sort of choked out. It didn't really bear fruit in my life. But thank God, he did not give up on me. And eventually, that gospel message has borne fruit in my life. And the good news is that this man, Jesus, says, look, now that I'm here, this is what the Messiah will do. I'm going to open the eyes of the blind, and I'm going to open the ears of the deaf. This might be impossible with man, but it's not impossible with Jesus. And just another point, sometimes the soil in our hearts needs to get torn up. Right? That's what happens. You know, I'm not a farmer, and we always need to be careful using farming analogies because we don't really know what we're talking about. But basically, when you've got a tractor in there and they start digging up the ground, what happens to the soil? It gets all mangled. It gets all messed up. And because of that, when you put the soil in, it gets deeper than it would if you just threw it on the surface. Sometimes God has severe mercy for those whom he is calling. Sometimes we need to get rocked in our life. We need our soil to get tilled up so that we can become receptive. That's true of me in some ways, but that's for another time. So if you have people in your life that seem hard-hearted, don't stop sowing. Don't stop praying to the Lord of the harvest on their behalf. So number one, the kingdom of heaven is revealed progressively. And number two, our participation in the kingdom is dependent upon our receptivity to the word. Here's the last point. Those in the kingdom bear fruit. Those in the kingdom bear fruit. Some reproduce 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, what is this fruit? Well, I think it's two kinds of fruit. One is the fruit of a transformed life, as reflected in the fruit of the Spirit, progressively becoming more patient, more loving, more self-controlled. But I want to focus in on this word, some reproduced 100-fold. Reproduced. Dawson Trotman, who was the founder of the Navigators, wrote a wonderful little pamphlet called Born to Reproduce. And in it, he makes the point that God in the book of Genesis, God the Father, says, go forth and multiply. And that's talking about a physical reproduction, right? I want to fill the earth with lots just like you. But he makes the point that God also wants to reproduce through us spiritually. In fact, that's what the Great Commission is all about. Go, therefore, into the world and make disciples of all nations. I want lots more just like you. I want many more spiritually alive people. It's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2 when he says to Timothy, the things you've heard me say in the presence of reliable witnesses, entrust to reliable men that will be able to teach others. There's four generations of believers in that verse. There's Paul, there's Timothy, there's reliable men, and there's others. And so my point this morning is, while we can't all be Billy Graham, you can be like Paul. Not that you're going to go be an apostle, but that you can have a Timothy in your life, somebody that you are walking alongside and helping to grow in the faith. And you can have a Paul in your life, somebody that's walking ahead of you that can show you the way. And you can be what I will call a Barnabas. Barnabas was another one of the apostles, or so the companions of Paul. And Barnabas means a son of encouragement. And you see, we need all of these roles in our life. We need people walking ahead of us. We need people walking behind us that we can help. And we need people walking alongside of us that can encourage us. But in order to bear this fruit, we need to work at it. We need to continually go back to the Word, to plumb the depths of its mysteries, and to apply it to our lives, which is why we need to be equipped. We get equipped on Sunday morning. We get equipped in foundations. We get equipped in community groups. This is meant to be a lifelong learning journey. So number one, the kingdom of heaven is revealed progressively. Number two, our participation in the kingdom is dependent upon our receptivity to the word. And number three, those in the kingdom bear fruit. I want to conclude this morning with an illustration from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And I want to preface it by saying, I love that Raleigh's tagline is that we're a city of oaks. Do I have that right? We're the city of oaks. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 61. And he's talking about the coming Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let me give you an example of an oak of righteousness. I'm excited for the next 2 weeks. We're not going to have John Yates III. We're going to have John Yates II here. And John Yates II is going to come and preach over the next 2 weeks. And you're going to want to be here for that. John and Susan Yates have just stepped down from leading the Falls Church, where our brother Sam Ferguson is now the rector. He was there for 40 years. And he was in ministry for at least a decade before that. So when John and Susan come and stand before you, they'll have had, you know, 50 years of ministry together. And I just got a bulletin from his retirement service. And on the back of it, they've got a list of all those who have been ordained for full-time ministry. And, you know, there's some names that you'll recognize on that list. Most notably, of course, John Yates II. Third. You'll also see Sam Ferguson's name on there. You'll also see Caleb Burr's name on there. You'll also see Wright Wall's name on there. All of these men have been raised up in part through the ministry of John and Susan Yates. But more than that, they've had hundreds and hundreds of fellows go through their church over the last 40 years. They've reproduced not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, not even 100-fold. I don't even know how you could count the number. It's a big number. We are meant to be oaks of righteousness. And even though that sounds a little grandiose, I just want to say that's God's plan for you, to be an oak of righteousness. And oaks have deep roots. And they get those roots by being receptive to the word. They get those roots by doing what the disciples did after Pentecost, which Caleb preached on last week in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And by God's grace, they produce fruit, the fruit of a changed life and the fruit of reproduction. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for these parables of the kingdom that help us to put away our expectations that are not correct. Thank you that in the teachings of Jesus, and specifically in the parables, that Jesus reveals to us what the kingdom of God is like. Lord, I pray that you would indeed give us ears to hear and eyes to see beautiful things in these parables, that we would hear, and that we would not just hear, but we would hear inwardly, that you would give us the Holy Spirit, that we would hear inwardly and that we would understand, and that we wouldn't just understand, but that we would apply these truths to our lives, and that because of that application, our lives would be different in a way that we would bear fruit. Lord Jesus, in this city of oaks, would you continue to raise up oaks of righteousness for your kingdom? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.